Good afternoon, and welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. We're a monthly program designed to bring you timely information on energy topics of interest to Cape Cod. I'm your host, John Burns, an energy efficiency program planner at the Cape Light Compact, and we are located at the Superior Courthouse at the County Complex in Barnstable. The United States is embracing a green agenda with a lot of emphasis on energy efficiency and renewable energy supplies, displacing our current dependency on foreign oil. And Massachusetts is actually, in many respects, leading the way. The legislature enacted the Green Communities Act last year, and it was signed into law by Governor Patrick on July 2nd. We've talked about it on previous programs. As a result of the act beginning to work its way through our everyday lives, it's been a subject that we've wanted to visit and revisit. And Kevin Galligan, the Energy Efficiency Program Manager at the Cape Light Compact, has been very involved in the process of making the act a reality. And he's here with us today to kind of bring us up to date where we are now and where we're headed. Kevin, you've been on the program several times in the past. Welcome once again to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy.
Thanks, John. Good to be back.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you. Kevin, for those of us who might be just tuning in for the first time, why don't we talk first about the Communities Act, Green Communities Act, and how it came about.
How it came about. How far back do you like to go?
Well,
we could
go. Let's have the short version.
The short version.
Since we've only got a half-hour program
exactly.
here.
Exactly. As you mentioned, the governor signed this bold piece of legislation on July 2nd, 2008, we also know that it was a evolution in its formation, in its ideas, in its creation that did bring together the House of Representatives' ideas, the Senate ideas. Folks might remember House Speaker Sal DeMacy.
Yes.
He actually, through his staff and efforts, crafted the first version of the bill, and then many others were filed at the same time in the Senate and the House. And what they did is they consolidated it through a coalition process that ensured that the interest of consumers, ratepayers, the technology that can come to play in the future were addressed. And as I said, the governor signed it on July 2nd. I was pleased to be there with our chairman as well, Bob Mahoney, of the Cape Light Compact of the Science Museum, less than a year ago. And it really was a momentous occasion to see such interest together. I mean, you had us as a municipal aggregator working for the ratepayers. You had the utilities. You had, of course, the politicians. And you had all of the workers and the interests that are really poised and ready to deliver more energy efficiency and renewable energy services to the Commonwealth.
So the purpose of the act then was to implement energy efficiency to the extent that we could, and to then supplement our power supplies with renewable energy over time.
Exactly. And one of the main goals of the act that is now, again, when you look at something that is a nice to do, you know, we generally get, you know, good incentives to do things. But in fact, in law, we as a program administrator of these energy efficiency must first procure our energy needs in the future through energy efficiency. I think the text right out of the law says that program administrators must ensure that future electricity and energy needs are procured through all available cost-effective energy efficiency programs and demand response programs. That's a mouthful, but it really is the law. And it puts, I think, Massachusetts way up in terms of the leadership level in the country as to what it has for its vision and goals. And I honestly believe we can do it.
So in a nutshell, what you're saying is rather than build a new power plant and string more wire, we're going to instead work on the demand end of it and reduce our demand while accomplishing the same job. We want to do the same amount of work. We just want to do it with less energy and we
exactly.
want to do it smarter.
Right. And we actually have, you know, good history of being able to do this. So although this is very aggressive and will challenge many of us to achieve these goals, that's not to say that the history that we have, particularly on the Cape and Vineyard, has been extremely good participation by our customers. We have definitely saved tremendous amounts of energy in the order of a little under 1% on an annual basis of our total energy load. And the Green Communities Act has given us some goals to double or even triple that savings. So we, in fact, could be looking at, you know, meeting our future energy needs, because we'll still be plugging more things in and enjoying more technology. But believe it or not, we'll be actually using less energy while we will be doing that.
So using our brains a little more than just the brute force of just adding more energy.
And we can do it.
We can. I mean, energy efficiency has been around for a while, but this really kicks it into high gear.
It does. It does.
It's a very, very ambitious initiative. Now, overseeing the implementation of the Green Communities Act is an Energy Efficiency Advisory Council. Who makes up this Energy Efficiency Advisory Council, and what is their function?
The council is made up of stakeholders that represent the interest of the array of folks influential in implementing, but also those that will be affected by the implementation of the Green Communities Act. So you have, of course, the Energy Office, Department of Energy Resources, is the chairman of the Energy Efficiency Advisory Council. You also have the Department of Environmental Protection, who is there to look after the benefits that will come by using less energy for our environment relative to air and environmental pollution, CO2, and emission reductions that will be achieved through the implementation of this. You have the Department of Housing and Community Development representative, who is looking after ensuring that our people that are in assisted, low-income, affordable housing are best served through the programs that we're looking after. You have labor represented. You have the energy efficiency industry representative. You have the business interest, the representative from the Associated Industries of Massachusetts. You have the Attorney General on the board, and you have, I think I mentioned labor. You have a few other
folks. Is there a public member?
There is a public member as well. Right. You have a low-income community representative.
Advocate
as well. And then each of the program administrators, all of the gas electric utilities have one representative, and I'm on the council relative to the Cape Light Compact as a program administrator. Although we don't have a vote, we actively participate in the dialogue and discussion.
Okay, and then what comes out of the council?
What comes out of it is I'd like to say a seal of approval, if you will, of the multi-year plan. And that's the one of the key elements of the Green Communities Act is, for the first time, we'll actually be looking at, on a statewide basis, the delivery of these energy efficiency programs over a multi-year planning horizon. From the years 2010, 11, and 12, the council is advising us, and ideally we'd like to get a consensus approval to stamp their approval of the plan that will then be rolled out and implemented for our communities through those years, 2010, 11, and 12.
Okay, so the Energy Efficiency Program Administrators submit plans. Is there any other mechanism for other ideas to be brought to the council? I'm just curious.
Let's say right here. I mean, this show, and we'll be doing many others, will help us hear ideas that come in from the community, because it really is a multi-phased process. The act was passed, and the first deliverable, if you will, was the filing of this first ever statewide initial filing that was made on April 30th of 2009. What is happening now is the council is going through the review process and considering their ideas as well until July. Once the council provides their advice and input to that initial filing, we as program administrators will then take it out to the communities. So we'll say the council believes that, you know, people need to be, you know, doing more things in their homes.
Energy audits.
Energy audit should go.
Efficiency upgrades.
Right.
And things
we
like
should
that.
Be incorporating heat pumps. We should be incorporating more measures, which is what we will be doing. And then we'll be taking those advice of the council members out to our community from the July, August, September timeframe of this year, and then making our own individual filing for the Cape Light Compact. And then the other utilities off Cape will be making their filings in October. The Act requires that the DPU, who is the ultimate
Department of Public Utilities,
yeah, they have the final authority to approve our plans.
Okay. And so the council recommends the right. department approves.
Right. And so to get it into, you know, gear, the DPU will have to approve the plans, again, by statute, by the end of January, January 31st, which I think is a Sunday, so it'll be the Friday before. So we will actually be able to start the year off with approved plans, which will be the first time we have ever had this, mm-hmm. and it'll give us a great starting point for implementing the programs.
Okay. This sounds like money to me. It sounds like that there's going to be more. I mean, the Cape Light Compact, as we've discussed on this program in the past, administers about $5 million a year in energy efficiency funds. These initiatives are doubling and tripling some of these efforts. Where does all the money come from?
Ultimately, it comes from us as ratepayers, but let me take you through how those funding streams will become available. As everyone knows, on your electric bill today, there is a monthly charge that's right. labeled energy conservation. That charge will continue. It'll continue at the rate and level it is. But in addition to that, we have three new funding sources, some of which are already starting to come into our revenue streams today. One is what's referred to as the ISO New England, the Independent System Operator for the power grid, rewards us for bringing demand savings reductions to the grid. In other words,
So when we implement some energy efficiency, mm-hmm. we actually get paid
from ISO New England,
so
right.
So we save on our electric bill and we actually get paid by
right.
the,
yeah.
by the other operators.
That's, right.
And
can't
beat it.
It's because we track the data.
Right.
When a business may have us come in and replace a rooftop air conditioning unit, that rooftop unit, as particularly people know in the hot days of summer, when that kicks in, the lights dim. That's actually putting a right. demand on the grid. So when we can replace that rooftop unit or any, you know, major energy-consuming device with a more efficient one, the lights don't dim as much.
Right.
Because, in fact, we have saved some demand on the grid. So when you add up all that demand savings, we actually are rewarded through what's called the forward capacity market of ISO New England. And it runs to the tune of about $200,000 today. It's expected to grow to be double or triple that in the years 2010, 11, and 12. So that's the number two source of funding streams. The third funding stream that, again, is starting to come into our programs today is the cap-and-trade system, or the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative.
We heard a lot about cap-and-trade back in, during the political debates and things like that. I'm not sure everybody really understands what that is. Can you give us a brief on that?
It has been formulated a number of years back, and Massachusetts was one of the last states to join the REGI initiative, Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. And what it merely does is it establishes a emissions cap for generators of electricity that would burn fossil fuels to be able to meet that cap. They must in turn buy clean allowances. And those allowances actually come through energy efficiency programs, because when we reduce use, we're actually reducing the need and the emittance of CO2. So that generally creates an allowance that is certified and is actually traded on a market. Usually every quarter, there's a auction that goes on. And the last auction, I believe, from Massachusetts brought in over $13 million. That is then allocated to our programs proportional to the number of electricity sales that go on, and the expectation we have for just the first allocation of that this year will be $1.4 million.
Wow.
It's six, so very significant.
Getting up there then. So the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative only pertains to power plants. Is that what you're saying?
Primarily,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. So if you're an emitter, a large emitter of CO2, to be able to emit above a certain level, the cap as it's defined, you need to go get allowances. and you need to pay for them.
Right.
Or in our case, because we're saving energy, we actually create allowances, so we get those dollars allocated to us. So that's the third stream.
What and when's all this going to come about? You say some of it started, but when is it anticipated that everything will be fully online?
Everything will be fully online by January of 2010. So it's coming up pretty quickly.
It is. January 2010 is just around the corner, actually. When are we going to see this this all coming about as far as all the programs and things are mm-hmm. concerned?
Well, as I mentioned, that we're in the design stage, the input that we'll be getting from the community. So what we'll be doing is, you know, doing the designs on the programs to, you know, really see that we're meeting the goals of the Act, getting the Council's blessing, and getting the DPU approval so that really by January 2010, we will be delivering new services for customers. From my standpoint, the programs will be very different than they're designed today. From the customer's standpoint, they should see nothing but more and better services. When we come in to do an energy audit, we will actually be giving the customer a very comprehensive assessment. Not that we don't do it today, but to date we've been constrained simply by the funding levels, by the ratepayer funding that now is being enhanced. We'll actually be able to do more things. Some of those new things that we'll be looking at will be, you know, a customer that is, say, renovating their house today. You know, we do a little bit to help them out, but a major renovation that a customer is doing in their home, we want to be able to influence that addition and also tie it in to improve their overall efficiency of their house. So we really want to treat the buildings and care for the customers, really make it a good experience for them so that at the end of the day, we can really, really do significant reductions of energy. We're not talking 2 and 3%. We're talking those customers that may want to reduce their energy use by 30, 40, 50% because as we said at the get-go, we have the brain power, we have the technology, the technical potential to reduce energy use in this country, in this Commonwealth, is there. I mean, we could reduce our energy load by 8 to 10% without a problem, except for money.
Right.
It does come down to what is cost-effective
sure.
in terms of delivering that. So,
and there's these various funding streams that we've just discussed bring that money to the table, and so people can access it. And so just, you know, let me kind of pause things right now and say to anybody that's interested in an energy audit, whether you want it for your house, existing home, or if you're building a home, if you have a business and you're interested in availing yourselves of these programs, there are very, very generous incentives available to you. And you can access them pretty easily. If you pay an electric bill, you're entitled.
Exactly.
You can call 800-797-6699. It's helpful if you have your electric account number available to the person that answers the phone. But you'll be signed up for an energy audit. You can request an energy audit. The audit is free. In the past, we've had energy auditors on here to talk about the process and what you go through. But basically, what Kevin is talking about now is really kicking this into high gear. So an awful lot more in the way of efficiency measures are going to be available to you. So even if you've had an audit in the last several years, might not hurt to touch base again when these new programs kick in and get a new audit. We'd also talked about the Energy Efficiency Council. How do we bring ideas to the Energy Efficiency Council? Well, you can do that in a couple of ways. The easiest way is to drop us an email to Focus on Energy, and the email is focus@capelightcompact.org. That's focus@capelightcompact.org. And just indicate in the subject line that you have an idea for energy efficiency that you would like your representative to bring to the council and discuss. So that's a way to do that. Kevin, this initiatives are broken down into several different levels. There's the commercial industrial sector, there's the residential sector, there's the low income sector. Can we talk about let's start with low income, for instance. What's going to be available in this new improved world, energy efficiency world, what's going to be available to us as low if we're low in, happen to be low income?
Well, we are working again through the council in terms of the planning for what could be available.
Okay. So we can't talk in absolutes today, but we can talk about ideas that
exactly
are being kicked around right,
right.
now.
And okay. what we do know, not just for low income, but even residential or businesses, is technology is becoming much more available in terms of its cost. Things like combined heat and power systems. This is a new technology that's been tested now for a couple of years, and it's merely taking a customer's basement that has a heating system and continuing to provide a new heating system that also produces some electricity.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little engine, could be gas-fired, natural gas, or propane, and in the process of making your home space heat, it actually produces some electricity. So we're looking at those type of things. They're very applicable for a low-income household as well as a residential or a small business. So that's just one measure. We're also looking a lot at, you know, improved water heating. Customers that may, you know, be familiar with their big, you know, 80-gallon hot water tank in their basement, that has associated with it what are called standby losses. There are water heaters today that allow us to remove that inefficient water heater and replace it with what's referred to as on-demand water heaters.
Yes.
You size them to meet, you know, the number of occupants to make sure that you're, you know, giving them, if anything, more or better hot water than they would have received before. But believe it or not, it saves a tremendous amount of energy because it's only going to run when you need the hot water.
Just when you turn that hot water
exactly.
faucet on, that's when that kicks in. Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we're looking at. I mean, there are a host of other things in terms of lighting technology that's coming down the pike in terms of solid state lighting, space heaters in terms of heat pump water heaters. We've heard those many years ago, but the Department of Energy is really adopting some of these emerging technologies in the form of either super boilers that are just nicely packaged systems. And as I always try to say to people, energy efficiency is about giving you more, energy savings, and giving you more creature comforts.
Right.
It really
want to reduce the concept of waste heat.
Exactly.
There is no such thing as
right.
waste
right.
Heat. There's heat that's just not properly being used,
right.
and we don't need to put it off up into the atmosphere where it does us a lot more harm than it does good. We
yeah.
want to put it to some good use.
Well, you think of some of these new super efficient boilers. They are so tiny. Another benefit you get out
sure.
of this is you get more basement space.
More basement space. Right. You're listening to Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy. Our guest today is Kevin Galligan, the Energy Efficiency Program Manager at the Cape Light Compact. And today we're discussing the Green Communities Act in Massachusetts and how that has unfolded and where we're headed with it. And so, Kevin, let's... Can we continue to talk perhaps about some measures now? There are a lot of ideas that float around out there, and they seem good. Now, how do we protect ourselves against ideas that seem good but are unproven? Now, this money that we're talking about, these incentives that are going to be paid for energy efficiency, only go to energy efficiency measures that have been fully vetted and tested. And so, how is that protection given to us?
It depends on the type of measure.
Okay.
The easiest one to say right off the bat is any consumer-based product, like a digital video recorder or a television or an air conditioner. They need to carry the Energy Star logo. That Energy Star seal is ensuring us as program administrators, ensuring customers that buy the products, that they've met the specifications, that ensure testing, the savings are there, and it's maintained because Energy Star that we're all a part of ensures that. But for new emerging product that's coming in, we actually have, through the program administrators, the ability to bring in manufacturer to say, you know, where has this been used? What testing do you have? And we actually have a committee that will be reviewing the technology. It's been done in the past, but I think you're right to point out we're getting a lot more calls, and we encourage those because we do want to ensure that we're looking at the newest and the best, but it needs to be commercially available.
Right.
It needs to have data associated with savings, and it needs to have some long life. We can't have something that's put in 1 year have a complete failure. We want to be sure that these things live and work for years and years to come.
And so they'll get properly tested. I mean, it's a balance that we have to maintain. I mean, we certainly want to encourage the entrepreneurial juices to flow and people working in their garages inventing new and wonderful things for us. But we want to make sure that when we get them to the marketplace that the consumer has some confidence that they're going to get what they pay for. And of course, since we're the Cape Light Compact and the other program administrators are supplying very significant incentives along with it, we want to make sure we get our part of it too. And what we're really looking for is the energy savings so we don't have to build more power plants, as we indicated in the first place.
If I could just put in a plug, you mentioned entrepreneurial. Keep in mind, folks that are listening, and what we really will be working hard to do in addition to the plan that we're designing to roll out to deliver these programs, we're going to need more entrepreneurs. We're going to need more businesses that are trained to deliver these programs. So that's a critical...
Yeah, let's talk about the workforce a little bit. We have these ambitious, very ambitious plans for enhance the energy efficiency, and unfortunately we're getting right to the end of the program here, but if we could spend a minute on what are we doing about the workforce of the future, the green, so-called green collar workforce.
Exactly. It is a component of the energy efficiency plan, and I will just say that we're best able to build upon what we've already been doing on the Cape for many years now through efforts at the Cape Cod Community College in terms of the environmental technology programs. Businesses today, you can see them across the Cape, have either expanded their efforts to get into being qualified installers of insulation. You'll see more renewable businesses that were never there before. People that used to be just building homes are now bringing in solar and renewables and more energy efficiency. So we, through the plan and through the efforts that have gone on as well at the county through the Economic Development Council, we're really poised to support and ensure that these programs actually bring much greater economic benefit for our region, because the dollars will be staying right here.
And if I remember correctly, you're actually teaching one of these classes through that program.
At 4C's Cape Cod Community College. It's the Energy Efficiency Conservation course. It's a fabulous course. 13 weeks goes by extremely quickly.
And the seats get filled pretty fast nowadays, too.
We have a lot of fun. It's a very enjoyable course. And don't have any fear about quizzes or tests. We do have them, but it's a good experience.
You're not going to believe this, but our half hour is up, and it often happens when we get on these fun topics, but we're coming to an end, and I think it's time to close. You've been listening to the Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy, timely topics on energy matters of interest to Cape Cod, the Cape Cod community. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to address on future programs, you can email us at focus@capelightcompact.org. Or you can call 800-797-6699. That's 800-796-6699. It's the same number you call for your audit. But if you have an idea for a program, you can give us that at the same time you're calling for your audit. So call us up and let us know. You can also visit our website at www.capelightcompact.org. And through the generosity of WOMR, we've also got the ability now to put our programs, Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy programs there. So if you happen to miss a program or if there's a topic that you want to revisit, you can go on there and you can listen to the programs once again. I'd like to thank my guest, Kevin Galligan, the Energy Efficiency Program Manager at the Cape Light Compact. I'd also like to thank our engineer, John Braden, for all he's done for us today. Thank you very much, John. I appreciate it. Cape Light Compact Focus on Energy is broadcast from the historic schoolhouse in Provincetown, 92.1 on your FM dial, and streamed on the World Wide Web at www.womr.org. I'm your host, John Burns. I want to thank you very much for tuning in and wish you a wonderful, energy-efficient afternoon.